Unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So just by a show of hands, I need to know how many of you are familiar with the movies of Joel and Ethan Coen. Okay, so that's enough. I won't explain there. They're brothers who produce and direct films that really, I guess, are best characterized as darker comedies. The thing about a dark comedy is it highlights on human nature. It takes real people in real situations and kind of magnifies some of the things that take place within their lives that kind of are humorous, but also somewhat sad. I met a woman who was, or could have been, a star in one of the Coen brothers' movies. Her name was Gladys. When I first met her, she said, "You know what my name means?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Happy Bottom." Yeah. She was in her 80s, had a sad life, married, two sons. Both the sons were mentally disabled. Both the sons died in early adulthood. Her husband had Parkinson's disease. He also died at some point, but I got to know him. And that's where it kind of turns into a Coen Brothers movie. The first time I went to her house, it was at the end of a cul-de-sac, nice ranch house. Knocked on the door, and she answered the door. I walked in, and the house was about 3,000 degrees. It was the middle of the summer. Every window was closed. Every blind was drawn. And her husband was lying on the floor. Not only was he lying on the floor, but he was wearing what best can be described as skateboarding gear. He had a helmet, he had knee braces, elbow braces, and wrist braces. He was this way because he fell a lot because of his Parkinson's disease. And so when he would fall, if they knew somebody was coming, they'd just wait so they could help him off the floor. There were boxes all over the living room. Not in a kind of messy way, but very nice boxes all stacked with labels on the side, indicating what was in each box. Now, as I got to know Gladys over the years, I found out that she was what some people would term filthy rich. One of my visits there, she brought out a shoebox, and she said, "Look what I found." Now, I thought, we're going to look at family pictures. It's a shoebox. It's been stored away somewhere. And so we're going to look at these family pictures. She brought them out. We sat at the kitchen table. She opened the box up, and she began to pull out stock certificates. The one stock certificate, and this is why I decided that she was filthy rich, was a Verizon stock certificate that was a bunch of stock. I can't remember the exact number, but when I went back to my office, I looked up what Verizon was selling for. I did the multiplication, and that one little piece of paper was worth $5.6 million in a shoebox in her house, on top of about 14 other stock certificates that I can't remember. Her days were spent going through her stuff. She had boxes filled with clothing that she had bought for her sons and that she had bought for Rudy, her husband. But they never wore them because there were just too many clothes. And so these were in boxes, still in the plastic, with the labels on them. And she would just have this ritual of opening a box, going through it, checking what was in the box, putting everything back in the box, and then relabeling the box according to what she put in it. Day after day after day, this progression of checking her stuff. Stuff that was hers. Stuff she would never, ever use. But stuff that she could not give away. It's a trap. To live a life like that is a trap. So enamored with what she had, what she owned, what was hers, her possessions, that there was nothing beyond the scope of the world except those possessions. And she locked herself in her house and blotted out the rest of the world just to be with her stuff. Today's gospel lesson. We got the rich guy. Now, he's not a bad rich guy, and I'm not saying that Gladys was a bad rich woman. She was just a little quirky. I don't know if this guy in the Bible is quirky or not, but he seemed to be well-meaning. But teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Kind of a peculiar question if you think about it. Because what must I do to inherit? What do you do to inherit something? You don't do anything. I guess the first deal with inheritance is, well, somebody's going to die. And then you get the stuff. You don't earn the stuff. It's given to you. So the question in and of itself is kind of strange. Jesus basically says, well, what have you done? Have you kept the commandments? You know them. And he lists off a group of the commandments that he should follow. And the rich man says, well, yeah, I've done all this since my youth, since I was a little kid. Okay, only one last thing to do. Give it all away. That's a tough one. Gladys couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I have my doubts that many of us could do it either. That's a lot to ask. Give it all away. Worked hard for this stuff. And plus, the stuff has a connection somewhat with me. Not all the stuff I have. But there's a need. Gotta be able to dress. Nobody wants to see me undressed, so yeah. Want to look professional. I think I'd put people off otherwise. Got to have a car. Not like I have a fancy car. I have a nice car. Mason wouldn't agree, but I think it's a nice car. Got a couple miles on it, but it still gets the job done. I like sports. I'm allowed to relax a little bit. I have a TV. I got this satellite dish stuck to the side of the house that gets the signal so I can see sports, so I can sit and relax. I've earned that, right? I can't just give it away. Neither could the rich man. Neither could any of us. You see, it's kind of a trick, I think. Because it's a trick in terms of where the focus is. You don't earn an inheritance. You don't earn a gift. It's given to you. Sometimes given to you whether you deserve it or not. And that's the point I think Jesus was driving at when he starts to talk and explain things to the disciples a little bit with a whole understanding of, well, yeah, humans can't do this. Because you see, the point is when we talk about eternal life, we're talking about finding our way into heaven. We're talking about this gift of being in the presence of God forever. And there is no way that we can ever do what we need to do to be able to obtain that goal. Because we would have to be perfect. And no matter how perfect we might think we are, we're still not perfect enough. And so the reality is the only way to be able to earn, obtain, be given this gift of eternal life is through God. Because with God, all things are possible. Even taking some scummy person like myself with all my bumps and warts and quirks and problems and issues and sins and saying, here, you can enter into my kingdom. You, Mark Miserable Rossman, can be part of my glory. Not because I've earned it, certainly not because I deserve it, simply because God has given it to me out of His bountiful love. Through the grace of God, these things are possible. This is more Lutheran than you could ever possibly imagine. Because you see, it's not about what we do, it's not about what we earn, it's not about what we can obtain. It is about what God does for us. It is about the gift of grace that God has placed within our lives. It is about the blessings that God places within our hearts and within our souls. And our response, as pitiful as it might be, is to live our lives in gratitude for this gift that we don't deserve, this inheritance that we can never, ever earn. And so in gratitude, we shape our lives and our hearts and our wills to do those things God has called us to do. To better be the people God has asked us to be. To find ways to be able to offer ourselves through our time, through our talent, through our treasures, to give thanks to God for this blessing that He has placed within our lives. This inheritance that has so shaped who we are. This blessing of love that has come to us through the life, death, and resurrection of His Son. To forgive us for our foibles and our failings and our sins and all those things that have separated us from God over the years. To bring us back to God, not through what we do or through what we don't do or through what we think we can possibly earn or whatever silly ladder we think we can climb up to get up there to the glory of God in heaven. But rather that God comes down to us and embraces us and takes us to Himself. The rich man should have never gone away sad because he hadn't heard the whole story. Rather, he should have gone away celebrating, because it wasn't anything he could earn. It wasn't anything he could ever do. But rather, it was a blessing and a gift that God had placed within his life, within his life, and within all of our lives. And so as we give thanks to God for this immeasurable gift that we certainly don't deserve, the challenge for us is to do our absolute best to live our lives in gratitude, to be able to share those things that God has blessed us with each and every day of our lives, to be able to prove to the world the faith we have, the thankfulness we bring, and the glory of God that shines around us. We thank God for this glorious inheritance. But as we do, let's move from this place to find ways each and every day to live lives of gratitude, to allow the world to understand that what we do out of thanks, not out of necessity, not out of something we can earn, but just out of thanks for the glorious gift that God has shared with us all. Amen.